Welcome to another edition of the Y-Pod, where we highlight everyday Wyoming leaders. This episode features Steve Russell from the University of Wyoming. We talk about his journey to and then back to Wyoming, connecting students and businesses to solve problems, and the snowball effect of helping people across the state. Hope you enjoy listening, even a little as much as we enjoyed recording it. Here we go with Steve Russell.
My name is Steve Russell, and I am the Assistant Dean of the University of Wyoming College of Business, and I am also the founding director of our Peter M. and Paula Green Johnson Student Success Center.
You are not originally a Wyoming native. We don't hold that against you.
Thank you.
How did you end up in Wyoming?
So I think I ended up in Wyoming because I failed, because I tried to go to college somewhere else, and it didn't make a lot of sense for me. And I thought I needed to be kind of a fit a square peg in a round hole, and it just didn't work. And so as I attended a different university, I dropped out of school, I started working, and as rich as you can feel making like $12,000 a year as a 20-year-old, I realized I needed education to get myself back on track. And you know, I found a home at the University of Wyoming.
You went to upper level postgraduate education here. Then you decided to actually stay in Wyoming after that. What was it that kept you here?
So admittedly, I left for a little bit of time. I would fully admit that I don't know that that was a bad thing. Sometimes I think it's helpful to see that the grass isn't greener. Technically, I think the grass was greener where I went, but not in the sense we're referring to. When I finished my undergrad at the University of Wyoming, I had that same mentality that I think a lot of students do, which is I've done my time. And now I'm going to go somewhere else and do whatever the next best thing is. At the time, I was an entrepreneur. So I started a company with two other guys. So this company was in the mining industry, an industry I knew nothing about. Luckily, the other two guys did. But we decided to start it off living in Nevada, eventually lived in Denver. And eventually, about 3 years later, I ended up in Indiana pursuing kind of additional grad school stuff. And I ended up working there. At the end of that experience, I loved the entrepreneurship side. I had started to realize what working in higher ed was and how having that entrepreneurial mindset could still be a thing, but it worked really different in higher ed. It got me excited about, you know, I think I now have the skill set to bring this back home. And I say it as home as Wyoming, because I think, you know, you give back to the places that have really had meaningful impact in your life. And certainly Wyoming has had that for me. And so when I had the opportunity to revisit coming back and working for the university, it just took on a second layer. I was already proud of the work that I did, but now it was work for my alma mater. It took on this whole other layer. And so it's become something I've been really proud of.
There have been a lot of changes, been a lot of exciting things that have happened. What have been one or two of the highlights for you?
I think the biggest highlight is kind of a no-brainer for me, because we built a student success center. I mean, that was pretty special. It was special to have been a student here and to now see where we're at in terms of this new student experience. I think the other thing that's been really special is to understand that our business school has been able to walk the walk at times. You teach your students about strategy, and you teach your students about decisions that you're going to have to make that'll end up being really challenging and that need to be backed by strategy. When we build a new student success center, it stems from a strategic plan that said the student experience was going to be important. When we talked about COVID was a really difficult time for students, for faculty, for staff, nobody was happy. But at the same time, we knew the experience we were providing was actually pretty top notch, because one of our pillars of our strategy was to invest in online. So yes, I'll always say the Student Success Center because I'm completely biased, but I will say the fun thing has been that our college practices what we preach.
That part of your job where you're out and about in the community and you travel a lot, what are the things about that that you like?
It's exciting for me to think that students and our graduates can get jobs in the state of Wyoming, but there's a deeper level of satisfaction when you know that that job didn't exist 3 months ago. It existed because of a conversation had around, this is a really great idea you have and it requires marketing, or you could be more efficient if you had a student with a background in operations to help you. And so all of a sudden, it is not a charity case of, will you please let a student do an internship with you? The value becomes so apparent to that organization that they're thinking, maybe I should have 5 more positions open. Maybe I should have a growth mindset. Maybe I really need to bring on this really special talent and realize that even if they're 20 years old, 21 years old, that they can add a lot of value. The conversation that I think is really special is when I can align some of what their needs are with what we can offer as a business school. And those don't always look like talent. Sometimes they look like, you know, miniature versions of consulting work. Sometimes it looks like doing projects for companies back in our classrooms. And that brings a special real-world touch to the classroom and also hopefully solves a problem for them. I spend a lot of time having those conversations, and certainly I keep waking up every day excited to have more.
How do you decide what you bring into the campus and what you expose students to?
You know, that's always difficult to try and create a balance. Everything from Wyoming versus not Wyoming to which industries, and are they all well represented? And at the end of the day, the thing we've realized here is for those people that are willing to lean in, we want to lean right back in with them. So there have been instances where smaller firms can provide maybe only one job opportunity, but the impact they can also have participating in the classroom is really powerful. And so I think the best part is we don't go into this with this mindset of I'm only willing to help you if you can somehow help me, or I'm only willing to help you if you're at a certain scale or size. Because I think there's this aspect of diversity of thought in the state of Wyoming that's really special. And to go grab somebody that is having a really unique problem in Riverton and all of a sudden inform them, by the way, that's the same problem somebody in Sheridan's having, and it's the same problem somebody in Torrington's having. All of a sudden it becomes, not only can we support the student experience, not only can we help out a company or an alum or just an individual in our community, we could actually sometimes act as a conduit to put them together to really solve maybe a bigger problem. So that's pretty special.
When you think about that landscape, what do we do to keep people here who want to stay here? And also, what do we do to bring people here who want to live here?
I think on the one end, keeping people here is an awareness activity. I've heard many students say, there's not a job here for me. And I don't think that's true. I think at some point, if every single graduate from the university, you know, was able to achieve a job in the state, we would have pretty significant job growth. But I think awareness just of the understanding of what kind of jobs really there are and the value in those jobs, and that there's a lot of value. Bringing people back is a little bit different. I'm biased because that was me. I did that. And there's a dynamic of succession planning that could come into play there. There's a dynamic where those of us like the university and our community college partners can also reach out to alums and say, hey, you know, there is a home for you back here. Maybe you're not ready to hear that when you've just graduated, but 5 years later, maybe it is time to come home. For different reasons, maybe I would just say awareness. And hopefully that's what I can do on some level when I'm spending time not in the office.
Speaking of you not being in the office, you do travel a lot. When you go into a meeting with someone that you don't have an existing relationship with, how do you try to approach that conversation?
I think it's just a lot of questions. And I think you'll find me with a notebook out taking notes. Sometimes I worry that, you know, the state at times might look at, you know, the university and say, we're the University of Laramie and not the University of Wyoming. And so I really try and go into those conversations asking, how can we help? What do you need? And single-handedly, the biggest impact I believe has come from that is when you actually take those notes and do something with them. Because it is really easy to have a conversation over coffee and never talk about anything ever again. And that doesn't further anything, so it doesn't help any of us. So I think for me, that is the most important part, is just acting on what I hear. And then it's knowing the right questions to kind of elicit, you know, some of that. And so that comes back to a lot of what we teach our students in the world of, you know, kind of entrepreneurship even. You know, what are your problems? What are your challenges? And as I mentioned, it doesn't have to be we directly solve that. It can be that the university or our college of business can be a conduit for making a connection between you and one of them or somebody else. And that really still furthers all of our goals.
How are you feeling about the progress you've made so far?
Always impatient. I look at it as kind of a snowball effect. I meet with folks, and that's one of those core questions. Who am I missing? Who do I still need to meet? And I think if I drive that, if I go Google people or I go track down alums or anything, I bias it before I've ever even started. And so that snowball effect has been really powerful, where I've been in touch with a business I would have never heard of, or where I found a problem that I never would have thought that our college could be in support of. I love that. I love that this overlaps with so much of what we do. So even when I'm outside of the college, there are really direct ties back in. It's a long drive to get to some of these locations. But when you see how many outcomes can occur from even one conversation, it makes it really feel like it's completely worth it.
Do you find people are leaning into that idea, or is it a new concept for a lot of folks around the state?
I think there are some pockets where there's just been a long-standing tradition of it. And when you think about our College of Ag and you think about their extension team, I think there's, you know, something so special about those relationships that allow the university to be supportive of many individuals across the state. It doesn't always come across the same because so much is business. It could be, you know, an architecture firm that really needs support on the accounting side. So they don't have to be accountants to need accounting. You don't have to be marketing specialists to need marketing. And so I don't think we're where we would all want it to be, but I hope that the volume of outreach efforts that are starting to really occur at a university level, and hopefully a lot of that can be driven through the College of Business, will at least allow those people to feel comfortable. And the thing we're going to need is going to be results. And so if I can have a conversation, if I can learn something, and if I can put those people in touch with a resource or I can help them, there's that snowball effect of they can tell their friend. And when they're sitting in a Kiwanis meeting, they can say, hey, how about this? You should go talk to this guy. That's when I'll know that we've been successful.
You look forward 10 years, 15 years, some fairly long period down the road. Have you painted any kind of a picture of what success might look like?
I think a lot about that success stemming from networks. You know, there's a lot of powerful network effects that just scale things up. And so for me, there's only one of me. And I love the team that I have here at the College of Business, but there's only a couple of us. And so at the end of it all, it needs to look like a network of individuals all throughout the state that are somewhere between the knowledge that I have of a university level and not knowing anything. There needs to be that partner of ours who can say, I've worked with them a bunch. I know some things that they can do. Or we have their materials here. Or I know the right person to put you in touch. And I think that's something we're growing. I think it's something that will feel really special when we have it. And I think it hopefully won't take 10 years to get there. But maybe it will, and even if it does, I think it will be worthwhile to wait.
You did say earlier, always impatient.
True.
I say 10 years, you say 5. That's why it works better.
Yep, exactly.
If you had stayed someplace other than Wyoming, those networks already exist, and they might be fairly well developed, and you're plugging into a system that you don't have to build. Why is it that you choose to do it here versus playing in those markets where you were before?
Yeah, I think those networks are there, but the relationships are weaker. The ties are weaker in that network. Ties are very strong in Wyoming, as we all know. When you can have a network of fewer people, but with stronger ties, I think you're going to go much further than being a part of really a weaker network. Even if it's available, even if it's easy, I think there are a lot of states that you could go 3 blocks down the road and not know a single person or have a clue what's going on. I can drive hundreds of miles and I still know what's going on and I'm still aware. And I think that's why these networks will probably look a little bit different, but I don't think they'll be underdeveloped. I don't think they'll be weaker. In fact, I think they might start to help other networks realize maybe it's less about quantity and more about quality.
Is there one thing that you have on your plate right now that you're pretty excited about? I know there are a lot of them, but if you had to pick one, highlight something that's coming up, what would come to mind?
I think it is those networks. So the College of Business, going back to our strategic plan, talked about needing some really pointed outreach efforts. And we hired someone as an outreach and engagement coordinator who I work really close with. She is actively working on these networks. When I say it's something that we might have in 5 years, we're working on that. It's not a pipe dream. It's not so far out in the distance. I mean, it's something that we feel like we're making progress on daily. Sometimes it's really kind of amorphous. It's hard to see it all happening. But when you sit down in a meeting and you start boiling down the number of individuals in these different communities and the roles that they have and the commitments they've made to really work with us on growing this network, it's impressive. It's much larger than you would realize. It's of the highest quality. I look forward to tapping into those networks in a way that is mutually beneficial, in a way that really makes sure that we are the University of Wyoming. We are helping the state. And by doing that, I think we end up serving our mission to help our students.
I love Wyoming. Thank you for what you're doing to help channel the university. And thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thank you so much, Eric. This was really fun.